Astro Dave Reneke is back again talking about all things astronomical. He's sounding a lot better, Dave, in the past couple of weeks. You've got over your allergy.
Firing on all six, actually. Yeah, yeah, not four.
That's probably dangerous six, as far as you're concerned.
Oh, yeah, look, I'm up and ready. No, ready to go. I've been through that. Had the allergy. It's all gone. I mean, I think the cold weather didn't help very much. But, Bilko, I'm ready to go. I'm fine. And good. We've been out with a telescope for a few nights, so it must be all right.
Speaking of telescopes, and look, the full moon's been out in the past week too, and it always reminds me of that classic movie, A Trip to the Moon, that was done back, 1902?
Oh, this is... Look, I can't stop watching this thing. This is put together by a man named George Millais. George Millais was one of the geniuses, unspoken genius, and not many people know of him, pioneer of early cinema and special effects. In 1902, this French genius put a little short 14-minute film out called A Trip to the Moon. It's been given 21st-century facelift. With modern technology, they've restored the piece of film.
Yeah.
It is riveting to watch. Corny as anything. Worse than any vaudeville show you've ever seen. But riveting. It's all centered around the Astronomer's Club, 1902. Now, because Jules Verne was pretty popular at the time, and his book was called something to the moon, I forget what it's called. Anyway, they fired these people out of a cannon to get to the moon. And what they did here, George Millais reproduced that, firing his adventurers, who were all dressed up in their Sunday best, by the way, no helmets or oxygen or anything needed like that. They land on the moon and they encounter a group of vigilante-type people up there, a race of people hell-bent on doing them some sort of an injury called the Selenites. And they escape and come back home to Earth. It's a corny story. There's no storyline there, but you want to watch the graphics. The way that it's done, they've taken and painstakingly done every one of the 13,000 frames.
I think back in those days, they thought the moon was cheese, and so this great picture of the rocket ship getting caught in the side of the moon's face.
Yeah, it's all been done. It's all been reproduced, restored in colour, and it is really well worth a look. It's on my webpage now if anyone wants to have a look at davidreneke.com.
And also with Star Trek Beyond having been out in the last few days, we're focused back on all the Star Trek lore, and apparently, according to NASA, the Vulcan star system is real. Can you explain that?
Yeah, look, Gene Roddenberry was a bit of a visionary. Not only was he good at producing TV shows and TV series, but his writing was just ahead of its time. He invented a world called Vulcan, and he had his character Spock come from that. We think we found Vulcan.
Green blood and everything, yeah.
Yeah, astronomers have been looking at a star system called 40 Eridani. It's a well-known star system. We've known about it for about 50 years now, 16 light years away, not very far. And it would appear that what Roddenberry was talking about, this is the area that he said that Vulcan was. We've found planets around this star. Now, the planets that are orbiting this star could be what he was referring to in the series that he created, Star Trek, all that time ago. So they're now looking for that planet. It's only a dwarf star. It's a cool red star. But anyone on that world would have the same view that Roddenberry claimed Spock did, and that's having three suns in the sky.
That's right. And it did have a red tinge, if you remember those planetary shots.
So it would appear, and it's just coincidence that the movie itself has come out this week and making box office records, I might add, too, around the world, the new Star Trek movie. It's not because of that. It's just coincidental that this has sort of jumped up at this time, this finding. And we can now say with almost absolute certainty that the stocks, Spock's home planet, Vulcan, is actually real and it does exist.
I think NASA's PR people know exactly when to time their communications.
You betcha.
Now, back to the moon. It's been a question that, we've been looking at for the past few years, and no one's really been back there since those moon shots did finish. But it looks like you're saying the US and the Russians could be joining to do something along those lines again.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? If you lived through the Cold War, like most older folk listening to you, I say that on one of them. If you remember the build-up to the space, to land in the space race, the moon landing in 1969, you know that there couldn't have been a greater distance between the Americans and the Russians. These were the two superpowers that have the space programs, both capable of putting a man on the moon, and both doing some great things. Now, look, in the 90s, I think the Soviet Union, the communism collapsed, the space program died. They've resurrected it in Russia, and they've resurrected it in a pretty big way. And I thought at one stage they were teaming up with China. But it seems that Russia have now got a close ally in the United States, not so much in their political sense, but in the area of space endeavours. They seem to have a unity, a unison, if you will, and they've made a joint effort to work together to get people into space again. I can't work this out. I don't know why this happened or how it happened, but the motives involved in the space business are not the same as you see in politics.
Well, I think science is winning out here, Dave.
I think that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I can see a mission coming up here, a joint mission that may be a collective mission to the moon, a mission between not only America and Russia, but also perhaps one of the other lesser-known organisations like India. Yeah. India have got a very, very, very powerful, very operative, very strong space program as well. But here's the news this week that America and Russia have signed an agreement to work together for the betterment of space, whatever.
How would it be if every single country, like especially India and China with their space technology, if we all got together with the US and Russia and decided to do a really joint mission, you know, planet Earth,
look,
setting up a moon base or whatever?
We could have a moon base on there within 5 years, operating with people. You could have a person on Mars, not only a person on Mars, but if everybody worked together, like you said, you could have a base on Mars now, a working base, and you could even look at possibly the early advent of tourism there too. Maybe not landing on the planet, but circumnavigating the world and coming back again.
Oh, that's the next big business is space tourism.
Space tourism is going to be really, really big. Yeah, it's going to happen. There are two or three people now looking at doing this and making a profit out of it. We're looking at this like they did in 1912 when Qantas started up here in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really when the airline companies were really getting underway and some of the biggest airlines were just starting up. And the cost of an aeroplane flight in those days was probably about 6 months' pay. So we're not talking any different now. We're talking about a lot of money to go on a space trip. But it's happening now. Space tourism is on our doorstep. Mining of Earth asteroids close by is also on our doorstep. And we're seeing now the first plans being laid to put a base on the moon, people on the moon again, and then to Mars. You know, I know the Chinese now talking about putting a space station in orbit around the Earth.
Oh, of course they'll do their own.
There's a whole lot of things changing. The whole thing is moving forward now in a way that I never thought it would.
Branson and Musk, two names to watch out for in the future
space
industry.
For them.
Check out DaveRenicky.com. And look, I particularly love the story about Alice. You know, that you've got on the website there. We, you know, you say we should be encouraging our kids to reach for the stars. A space career or something along those lines. Have a look at that story. It's good,
yep,
too.
Good
I think
story.
We need to encourage our future. My girl, who's, 13 now, has a desire to be an engineer, and I want to encourage that all the way, don't I?
Oh, go for it, yeah. Now, look, women now, young girls now, have got to realise that this is an age they can take part in this. Before it wasn't, Bill, because it was all blokey. Mm. You know, women weren't really admitted into the space program. They are now. They're more than welcome to come along. And the area of science and the areas that I move in space and astronomy are certainly gender-friendly as well. It's a different world for them now.
Exactly. DaveRenicky.com. Check the website. Till next week, my friend.